Well, can I invite you to turn in your Bibles as we come for this meditation on this passage before we sing again and then as we come to the Lord's table. Colossians chapter 3. Behave yourself, you are in church. Behave yourself, you are the church. That was our focus last week as we thought about these verses in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12, 13 and 14. And in many ways that theme continues today as we look at this wonderfully rich letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in that region in southwestern Turkey as they sought to live for their Saviour and their Lord. Last week, those two pictures in many ways summarise the message of last week. And you can see the one at the top there, those attributes of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And these are the things that as Christian people and as professing Christians, we are to clothe ourselves with these things. And those of you who are busy at this harvest time of the year, many a day, many a time, you will be coming in and, as it were, changing out of the old clothes and putting on the new clothes. And as you do that, think about Colossians chapter 3 and the things that we are to clothe ourselves with. And we also saw how the apostle says that we are to bear with one another, verse 13, and we are to forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us. And let me say this today as we come to the table. Let me throw this out, and it's quite a pointed mark thing to say, but it's an important thing. Let me say to you, brother and sister, is there a brother or a sister here today that you need to forgive in your heart before you come to the table today? And have you considered this, that within the Church of Jesus Christ, and sadly sometimes this can happen in lots of different places, that there can be a refusal to bear with and a refusal actually to forgive? And that will not only harm you within your soul, and maybe even your physical constitution, but it can be something that can block the blessing of God within a church and within a community. So it's a very serious thing, and it's something for us to really think about deeply and prayerfully today and in the coming days. And we saw last week that, as the apostle says in verse 14, that love, agape love, this self-giving, Christ-centered love, is not only the key to be able to do these things. You and I cannot do these things if the love of Christ is not constantly filling our hearts. And that love filling our hearts is not only the key to all of this, but it is the power that will enable us in all of these things. I know that many of you enjoy reading the bulletin, and you maybe see what's on the wee Be Inspired part each week. This particular week, some of you already will have noticed that I've been quoting some words from Don Carson and Tim Keller. And it's their material in many ways, and the material of the Gospel Coalition that we used in the small groups last year and we are using in the smaller groups this year. And it's very, very good anything coming out of the Gospel Coalition is very, very good. If you're not sure what the Gospel Coalition is, go and Google it later today, and you'll come up with a wealth of stuff. But they're basically saying that as churches, whether we're churches in these islands or churches in America or Europe or wherever, that we are to be shaped by the gospel, shaped not only by the message of Christ crucified and risen that we preach and the call to repentance and faith, but shaped by the gospel in how we live, in how we live with one another, and how we live in seeking to reach out to those who as yet are unconverted. So we're to be shaped by these things. And this theme that we continue on today is how we are to be shaped. And basically, there are three things that I want you to notice as we come to the Lord's table. And the first one is what I've called peacefulness. Verse 15. Look at what Paul says. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." Now, Jesus Christ, the one that we follow, the one that we love, the one that we worship as the Lord God, he is the Prince of Peace. And so whenever he comes by his Spirit into the hearts and into the communities of his people, he brings this peace. And the peace of Christ is a wonderful thing. And Paul's point here is that this peace should reign within the church family. He's speaking to the church here in Colossae. He's speaking to a church, and without going through it all again, there have been some challenges and problems. False teachers have come in and people have maybe gone into different little groups, and he's calling them to be one in Christ. He's calling them to be at peace one with the other, to bear with one another, to forgive one another, to show compassion to one another, and mercy and gentleness and patience and kindness and all of these things. Do you see that little phrase there in verse 15? Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And that's the clue to what Paul is speaking about here. He's speaking not so much to an individual saying, "I hope you have a nice sense of peace in your heart." Well, I'm sure he wants that. But he's speaking to the brothers and sisters. As members of one body, you were called to peace. And it's the same here this morning, folks, that in Christ, we are members of one body. We are members of his church. If we're truly converted and saved by the grace of God, we are, by definition, part of that body. One writer says this. He says, "The peace of Christ should settle all conflicts. To preserve that peace must be a clear obligation upon each member. And when difficult choices have to be made, that peace should sit as an umpire on divisive questions." Unquote. And that's really what Paul is saying here. And so we come to it today. Churches can have quite a few people who are both conscientious, and that's very good, and will contend for the faith, and that's very, very good. But sometimes people can move to the position of being contentious, and we have to be careful. Yes, we contend for what's right and what's true, but we try not to be contentious. We must work hard to preserve the peace, not to overlook wrong or error or anything like that, but to demonstrate the grace of God in our hearts by working to maintain the peace and the unity of the family of God. Tell me this morning, is that your heart? To be working for the peace of the Church of Jesus Christ in which you have been placed. Because you see, anything that destroys the peace of Christ within his church is wrong and really quite a serious thing. So as we prepare to come to the table this morning, let us search our hearts. And remember, what I'm doing this morning, I'm simply trying to open up the Word of God which to us this morning is Colossians 3:15 at this moment. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, and we will be taking the bread and the wine, one cup, one bread. So let us be people full of the peace of Christ. The second point is thankfulness. You can see that very brief little comment at the end of what we have is verse 13. He says, and be thankful. Cultivate thankfulness. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you, without spending a whole lot of time on this, just to illustrate for you how this is a really big theme for Paul. If you've got your Bible, just glance back to the beginning of the book, Colossians chapter 1. He's not far into the book where he says in verse 3, there's a thankfulness. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, when we pray for you. Glance down to verse 12. You have the same thing there. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Chapter 2 and verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And then later on in the book, chapter 4 and verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And in the passage today, we have this coming up here at the end of verse 15, be thankful, and also in verse 17, giving thanks to God. So there's no denying, this is a big theme. It's a big issue for the Apostle Paul. You know, any pastor could stand and say this, and I can think of, sadly, situations that I have known of, not only in this country, but in others, where in churches, people have taken their eyes off the Lord, and they've begun to focus on themselves. And they've maybe began to focus on others within the church with whom they had some sort of a problem. And the whole thing spiraled out of control. The devil got a foothold. And before they realized it, there was a major problem. And you know, I sometimes wonder when I read these verses, was that the kind of thing that the Apostle Paul was thinking about? There were already challenges in this church in Colossae, and the Apostle Paul under God knew how he had to counter that by seeking under God to have a people who were meek and humble and kind and compassionate and bearing with one another and forgiving the grievances that we can have against one another, filled with the love of God before the whole thing got worse. And he says here, be thankful. Be thankful. And he goes on, I believe, to expound that. He says, it's almost as if somebody anticipates, well, how can we be thankful? Well, he says, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's a way to be thankful. Allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to so fill your heart that you will be filled with thankfulness to God. And if you have to teach and admonish one another, do it with wisdom and with thanksgiving to the Lord. And sing praise and worship to the Lord with gratitude in your hearts. You see that in verse 16, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. It's interesting. It gives us a little clue into what was happening In the first century Christian church. They were singing. They were singing as we sing. What were they singing? Well, they maybe didn't have some of the books that we have and some of the songs that we have, but for example, they were singing psalms. That's why it's good to sing the psalms, and we still do sing the psalms. I love the psalms, as some of you do. They were singing hymns. They were singing spiritual songs. And that's a whole other message to maybe dig down into that. But they were doing it, folks, with gratitude in their hearts to God. You see, that's the focus. Paul says, get your focus on God. Get your focus on Christ. Get your focus on the work of what God has been doing. And it will help you in all of these other things. You know, a healthy church is a singing church. And we like to sing, and we want to encourage one another to sing. And it's interesting, and again, the preacher could go off on another tangent. Every revival and every time of reformation has provoked a burst of redemption song. And over the years, in my experience, I have preached in lots of different places, north, south, east, and west in this island. And in some of them, the singing has been wonderful. And in some of them, it was a mighty solo from myself. And you say to yourself in situations like that, there's something not right here. Because the truth of the matter is, folks, if people have got the gospel in their hearts, they will sing. They might say, you know, I can't really sing that well, I'm out of tune, but it doesn't really matter in my book. They will sing. But if people have nothing in their hearts, they have nothing to sing about. So why should they sing? And the Colossian church was a singing church. The Apostle Paul encourages them to be thankful and with full hearts to sing their psalms and their hymns and their spiritual songs with gratitude in their hearts to the Lord God Almighty. Folks, is your heart full of praise this morning and thankfulness? Does this word come to you maybe as a slight rebuke because you've been focusing on the wrong things? You've been focusing on someone else, dare I say, when you should have been thinking about God. Thankfulness. Peacefulness. Thankfulness and Christ-centeredness. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 is a wonderful verse. It's one of these all-encompassing and overarching texts. I'm sure so many sermons have been preached on this text. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There is to be this Christ-centeredness. And that's the significance of what Paul says here. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, in this church in Colossae, there were those who were pulling down the Lord Jesus and putting other things in his place. Particularly, there were some in this church who were pulling down the Lord Jesus and putting angels in his place. That's also happening in this day and age in which we live. As I've said before, go to some bookstores and go to the religious section. You'll maybe struggle to find too many books on the Lord Jesus, but you'll see plenty about angels and a whole lot of other stuff. History often repeats itself. But Paul says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He is the Lord Jesus. He is the Master. He is the King. So live in light of him and his glory and his work and his death and his resurrection and all that he has accomplished. You see, Christ and the gospel are at the very center of everything. And again, that's one of those things, and you say, well, yeah, that's pretty obvious. And yet, is it obvious? Yes, Christ and the gospel can be at the center of what we do here today, but will he be at the center of what you do tomorrow? As you face another Monday morning trying to get a busy household up and out for school, maybe not so busy, maybe a sleepy household up and out to school. And that's not always easy. But have Christ in the heart of that. As you face those business transactions this week, as you face maybe that difficult conversation that you really are not looking forward to, as you face seeking to bring in the harvest and wondering in this season where the harvest is already a wee bit late, how are we going to go with the weather this week? You see, Christ is to be at the heart of all of that. And that's one of the glories of the Reformation and the Reformation principles. And wasn't it Martin Luther who said, and many others followed, he said that as a person goes out to milk the cow, or as a person goes to sweep up their house, they do it giving thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. And that is why I love the Reformation for different reasons. But one of them, and it called everybody back to that, even the so-called ordinary stuff is to be done to the glory of God. And folks, when you see that, that can actually be something liberating. It can actually literally put fire in your belly. And for all I know, there maybe are people here today, and actually you're dreading something that you maybe have to do today or in the coming weeks. Maybe there's a big job and you're really struggling and saying, goodness, I can hardly face this. Well, here's a word for you. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, the gospel changes everything. And as Tim Keller once famously said in his helpful book, Center Church, the gospel is not just the ABCs, but it's the A to Z of the Christian life. Brother and sister, we need to constantly remind ourselves of that. You see, sometimes people can think in a wrong way. Let me tell you how some people think as I try to gather this up. Sometimes people think, well, the gospel is what saves unconverted people. And then Christians, once they've come to Christ, they try hard to live according to the principles of the Bible. So the gospel in their thinking is, well, that's what saves people. And then we have to try hard to live for Jesus. That is in danger of becoming moralism, actually. Here's a better way to put it. That we are saved by believing the gospel. And then we are transformed in every part of our minds and our hearts and our lives by believing the gospel every day more deeply. So if you want theological language for it, we are justified by believing the gospel, but we are also sanctified by believing the gospel and pressing on as we believe that gospel. And again, that delivers us from just running ourselves into the ground and trying too hard in our own strength. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So folks, time has gone. As we come to the Lord's table, may these principles fill our hearts and fill us with joy and thanksgiving and praise. May we be people filled with the peace of Christ. May we be people who are filled with thanksgiving as we realize what God has done to redeem and to save us. And may we be people who are centered so much every single day on our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ.